Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, welcome, welcome on this lovely Sunday afternoon with myself, Muhammad Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548, on the Globetrotting program where we talk travel and talk of different destinations. We've now come out of the school holidays. School started this past week and life is now back to normal. We work our lives around our children when it comes to school holidays. That's the way it is. Alhamdulillah. So, such a nice way of doing things. And school has now resumed. People are back from holidays, back to normal. And now already, people are starting to plan their next holiday trip. Can you believe time just flies past us? I'm busy doing some bookings and so on for our upcoming Vietnam tour. And I find that, unlike before, when we used to do bookings to go for holidays to different places, if we booked early, we would get lovely, fantastic prices, good prices, cheap prices on air tickets as compared to booking when you're coming closer to the time. Nowadays, from now already, when you try to book, the prices that you're paying, for example, if you're paying for a December holiday, you're booking today, which is now in June, July, you're booking for December. You are paying the same price as you would pay when you're coming closer to the time. It's just worked out like that. Today, unfortunately, like unlike before, today, every day is like a holiday in different parts of the world where your flight prices, your hotel prices, there's just, I don't find a low season. Wherever you want to go, it's either high season here and low season there, or vice versa. So your pricing, your ticketing, if it is low season there, you're buying a ticket from this side, you're paying high season prices because it's high season here. And if it's low season here, on the other side it may be high season, you're still paying for your ticketing and your accommodation high season prices according to that. So you can't fathom that out. But that's the way it is. And it's now pretty expensive. But that's the way you have to do your bookings in advance. Rather be safe. Because it's unreal how people are now booking and people are going to different destinations of the world. And they are booking in advance. And we tend to wonder that they say that there's a recession in the world. Things are a bit on a slump in the world. But when you talk to airlines, when you try to do bookings, you cannot get bookings. We're trying to do Vietnam for December, late December. Flights are being, they just chock-a-block already. That's how it is. And, you know, you if you're lucky enough, you'll get those people that cancel their bookings or they cancel their flights and they go off and you can get on. But if you just want to book a whole group together, your whole family, maybe 10, 12, 14 people, there's sometimes difficulty with that. But that's the way travel is becoming. Although, like, for example, you have Emirates, you have 4 flights a day going from Johannesburg. Yet, all 4 flights are full. That's the way it is. And that is holiday for now. But, alhamdulillah, whoever manages to get on and go abroad and enjoy your holidays, fantastic. Enjoy. That's the best. That's what you should do. But already from now, people are starting to book for 8 months, 10, 12, 13 months in advance to get their booking sorted out. So be an early bird, book early, because when it comes to last minute, we see the adverts, we see people going to different destinations, but we tend to just say, we'll book last, we'll book when the time comes, not knowing that there's a limit of a number of people in a group, and that gets snapped up in no time. Then what do? You then start panicking and you start paying exorbitant prices and you make the wrong choices and sometimes even the wrong destinations. So just be very, very, very careful when you're doing your bookings. Book in advance, book properly, book wisely and get yourself sorted out, alhamdulillah. Very important that we do that and we continue with our bookings. So already people are starting to book now for September holidays, October. They're starting to book for the December holidays, and December is starting early this year. Schools are going to be opening around about the 9th of January, so people are starting to book early for early December. There are people that are booking for as early as the 4th and the 5th of December simply because they want to get back by Christmas weekend and they have time at home again and they don't want to be traveling during that time. So people are already doing their early bookings and getting out of South Africa to whichever destination. But that's the way it is. And I just hope you have a fantastic time wherever you're going, inshallah. Have a great time. If you need any assistance also, you may call us on 072-786-5520. our Instagram handle on Globetrotting25, the number 25. So it's Globetrotting25. You can visit our website also. We're busy updating the website at the moment, www.globetrotting.co.za. We've got some information on there. And we're trying to upload information of different countries which are busy with at the moment. I'm putting that together. And some pertinent information of different countries. And just as a holiday destination, some of the places, some lovely holiday destinations. For example, a friend of mine just got back from Maldives. I'm going to grab him now to get some information about Maldives and probably some of his first 10 pictures, which we'll probably post onto the website and get that information put up. And that will be nice, where we get first 10 information, not the generic pictures that we find on the internet, but first 10 information, first 10 pictures. That will be lovely to post on there, inshallah. So we'll endeavor to do that, inshallah. Now, we go to different destinations, we talk of different places many a times, but the most important thing is to talk about a destination to a person who's been there probably once, twice, or several times, and that is of importance. Reason being, you have information from a person who's in your circle, who's probably your style, who's been to that destination, and will give you information and part with information of what he's done and what the do's and don'ts, I would say, of a certain destination. So we are going to be talking to Brother Zakaria Mullah from Roshni, who goes often to Turkey, who loves Turkey, I would say, and he goes often to Turkey, and whenever it comes to anybody asking me for Turkey, I refer them to Zakaria, because he's got a wealth of information on Turkey. I'm talking of touring Turkey. So that's a fantastic way of doing things, is talking to somebody that has got the experience. So we will be talking, inshallah, to Brother Zakaria Mullah shortly and share some of his experiences and share some of his ideas of where to go. It's not, when we talk of Turkey, we don't only talk of either Antalya or Istanbul. We talk of many, many other places. And we're going to hear Brother Zakaria telling us of lots of other places that we should visit when we go to Turkey. This morning I came across something. I just got up and I saw my WhatsApps, and you probably got it already, but I found it so appropriate. And I thought, before we continue with our program, I just want to share a short little story. It's a very short story, but it's so important. It made so much of sense to me. And it goes like this. A prison inmate on death row, soon to be put on the electric chair, was asked his last wish before he died. He asked for a pen and paper and wrote, "Dear Mum, if the law was fair, today you could be here with me waiting to be hanged together in the electric chair. But since the law is so blind, I have been convicted for the crimes we committed together. Mum, remember how it started? Do you remember the day I stole my friend's sweets? You didn't punish me. You only said I was young. Mum, remember when I used to steal Dad's money, but you didn't report me? Remember at 15 when I stole our neighbor's bicycle? I hid it in the garage, so you saw me and kept quiet. I was with you, and later I sold it to scrap, and you did nothing about that, Mum. Mum, the day I was suspended from school for smoking and dodging lessons, Dad wanted to punish me, but you stopped him. Remember, very well that day, you had a bitter argument with Dad because you supported me, saying that the teachers were wrong. And when me and my friends broke into Jimmy's shop, did you call the police? Remember, I was hidden at home from them. Mum, you never guided me. I was a child, a little young boy who needed your guidance, but you loved me so much and never corrected me. And now it's your love that has made me to die of a shameless death in this electric chair, being convicted for the crimes we committed together." How important is that? And he says, it's from your loving son, sitting on the death chair. So important to parents. We shouldn't punish our children in a way where we should hit them and spank them. You know, I'll really give them hiding, but we should direct them. There's a nice way of doing it. For example, if he stole the bicycle, he put it in the garage at the house, his mother could have said, "Son, take that bicycle back again. Otherwise, I'm going to take the bike." That's a punishment also. Alternatively, when the boy stole some sweets, the mother could have said, "Listen, you're not going to eat that sweet. You're not going to put it in your mouth. It's not permissible for us. You're not going to have that sweet. Wherever you got it from, give it back. If not, out of embarrassment, give it to somebody else or get rid of it. You're not going to have it. So that's a lesson to learn. To all parents out there, this is a very, very big lesson. Let's guide our children well. If your child does something wrong, punish them. Not like how the old days where they used to really take out a belt and punish them. No. We got to respect our children also in a sense where to not punish them in such a manner that it makes them stubborn. Punish them in a way where you probably take... Today, life has become such where we give them all that they want. Take away some stuff from them. Take away certain things from them. And that is a punishment because something that they love most, take that away from them. That is also a form of punishment. You help them to choose well from good and bad. You help them to learn. Don't love so much to an extent of spoiling your children, which we are all guilty of. We spoil our children. If a child wants something, or if something that we cannot do in life, or what we did not do in life, we say, let our children do it, because we didn't have it. That's not the way. Teach them the correct way. So it's important. When I came across this, I found it so appropriate. Alhamdulillah. Important that we should learn these things. Alhamdulillah. So now we will be talking to Brother Zakaria, inshallah. We're going to be discussing Turkey. Alhamdulillah, we do have Brother Zakaria from Lodia, from Roshni, sorry. We do have Brother Zakaria from Roshni, who's been many, many times to Turkey. And I find it sometimes when it comes to talking about a certain destination, a certain country, we talk of a destination where we have people that have experience. We talk about that destination with those people. That makes a big difference because you got first-hand information. For example, where you go to a certain country, you open up the internet, you check out on the internet whatever you want to, and you read about certain destinations and you say, right, that's what I want to do. The better thing to do is even amongst your friends, your colleagues, your family, whoever's been to certain destination, the best thing would be to talk to them and ask them about a destination which they have been to. So you hear what they've got to say, you hear what they talk about that country, then what you do is you take that information together with other information, put it together, and you have a fantastic holiday. Now we do have Brother Zakaria. Assalamu alaikum, Brother. Jazakallah for joining us on this Sunday afternoon. Today the weather is fantastic also, alhamdulillah. We're supposed to be going, or we're supposed to be in winter, but it seems like some days we're already getting out of winter.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah, Brother Muhammad Lamba. Salam to all the listeners of Radio Islam. Really, the great opportunity that Muhammad has given me again. Allah shukr, he always thinks of me when he has this program. And Allah shukr, Allah has given us the opportunity to go to Turkey a few times. So with that little, we put some information together and share it with our listeners.
Alhamdulillah. Now, when it comes to a destination like Turkey, for example, because you go so many times to Turkey, you obviously experience different things at different times whenever you go. So it's not the same thing, that it doesn't become monotonous. Any destination for that matter, when you go to a destination, it doesn't become monotonous because you're not doing the same thing all the time. You tend to pick up on different things that you would be doing. So like your experience from the very first time you went, and now that you just got back from that area also, what's your difference and what's your change in your attitude towards Turkey as a whole?
Most definitely, Muhammad, going to Turkey, you have many friends going, family going, and it's the common thing that you hear all the time, that the guy is going to Turkey, he's going to be in Istanbul for a few days, and then he waits himself down to the south and he's in Antalya for a few days. But definitely Turkey being a very, very huge country on its own, which is very, very vast, very, very much different areas which the people need to explore. It is much, much more different to our common Istanbul and our common Antalya. So Allah has given me the opportunity to go many, many years ago when I was much younger with my parents. And after that, I've been going time and time again, visiting different parts of Turkey, which is definitely very, very amazing, Muhammad.
Perfect. Alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, Brother Zakaria, as you mentioned it, I contact you when it comes to going to these different destinations, simply because we can share experiences. We can share what you know best, what you know most, and you go to these places. So that is why I contact you, so that you can talk and share it with the listeners. And that's the aim of this particular program, is to help people when you get out there. Because we have the tendency that when you go to a certain destination, a certain country, if you don't take information from people, you don't ask people for different information of what the country is all about, or what can you do, or where can you go, we go there, we will do very limited things, and when we come back, we realize we missed out on quite a bit of stuff. Now, with having been there, sharing experiences, that is exactly what we want to do. So that's the most important part of when it comes to different destinations. So you say you've been several times there. You started going when you were very young, and I know how you love the place.
Muhammad, as I say, the first stop, like always when people go, it's the common destination in Istanbul, in Turkey, which is Istanbul, and which is, example, Antalya, Cappadocia. But as I say, there is much, much more to see in Turkey besides these common places. And Muhammad, as I say, I just got back a few months ago, and it was a different experience. Every time I go to Turkey, most definitely a different experience. Where do I start, Mohammed? There's so much to talk about Turkey.
You know, before we go ahead with that, lots of people, when you ask them, you've been to Turkey? Yes, I've been to Turkey. Where have you been? I've been to Istanbul. You've been to Istanbul? Alhamdulillah. Have you been, really, really, you've been only to Istanbul? Yes, I've been to Istanbul. And that is Turkey for many, many people. But there's, according to you now, when you told us of certain other places, there's much, much more than just Istanbul.
Definitely, most definitely, Mohammed. You tell me, I can start, Mohammed, all the way from leaving Johannesburg, the different options, or do I talk on Turkey itself, the different places in Turkey?
In the first place, let us start flying out from Johannesburg. The problem we have in South Africa at the moment, we have very limited number of airlines flying out to these destinations. So what is the best way to get out from here?
Mohammed, most definitely always using the national carrier, which is the Turkish Airlines, which gives you a direct flight from Johannesburg. They are flying from Durban as well. So obviously the best option being Turkish Airlines, which flies from Johannesburg into Istanbul, which is the main airport, which is the Atatürk Airport. There is another airport as well, which is the Sabiha Gökçen Airport, which the other airlines do use, example Emirates and Qatar Airways. But obviously the best option being Turkish Airlines, because it lands in the airport which is much nearer to the city, which is the Atatürk Airport. It saves you much more time than landing at the other airport. So obviously the best option being Turkish Airlines, Mohammed.
Turkish Airlines, you fly out from Johannesburg?
From Johannesburg.
In Istanbul.
Now, Atatürk Airport, which is the more convenient and closer airport to where everyone wants to be.
All right. Now, when you start in Istanbul, can you give us some of the places to visit in Istanbul?
Istanbul, Mohammed, the famous things which most of the listeners, I'm sure, are aware of, obviously being the Blue Mosque, being the Topkapi Palace, Topkapi Museum, as they call it, and then the Hagia Sophia, and then obviously the famous shopping places that people always talk of, the Grand Bazaar, the Spice Bazaar, and then obviously Ayub Sultan, which is also a famous landmark in Istanbul, besides being on the Bosphorus, etc. But those are the famous landmarks which most of the people are aware of.
Okay, so that is now your city tours and so on. So if you're going, you're probably doing a city tour, and to do a city tour in Istanbul, what time frame does somebody need to do the city tour?
Istanbul itself is that huge. They have these hop on hop off buses, all these private tours, which take you to the main landmarks, as I say, obviously the Blue Mosque, the Hagia Sophia, the Topkapi Museum, Ayub Sultan, showing you the Dolambaç Palace. That's the famous thing. They may give you some time of for little shopping, as I say, the Grand Bazaar, Spice Bazaar. But if it needs to be done and everything needs to be seen in Istanbul, takes two or three full days, then, as I say, you see all the main attractions of Istanbul.
That's what I was going to ask you next. How many days in the city itself would to do all these tours? Because you're mentioning of so many different places. So if you're saying 2 to 3 days, so if somebody is doing a full itinerary for, say, for example, 12 or say 13 days, which is very common, 12, 13 days. Okay. So you say your first 3 days has to be in Istanbul?
I would say Istanbul, the person really wants to see Istanbul, go through all the famous things. 2 or 3 days, he would cover most of it, you know, the famous landmarks. Besides, as I say, there is so much to see. This person wants to see everything definitely in Istanbul. Then 3 or 4 days is definitely going to be too little for Istanbul itself.
Right, so now that's your start for Istanbul. So you're doing the Masjid, the Grand Bazaar, and what about the Bosphorus tour? Is that all will that be included in that 3 days?
At the moment, that can take a day on its own. The person goes, takes the early ride on the Bosphorus, and obviously the whole city can be seen from the all the different ports and piers. So that on itself. No problem. As I say, Mohammed, as for the Bosphorus, if the person really wants to see the different piers and ports, then doing the cruise on the Bosphorus itself takes a whole day to experience the whole Bosphorus tour.
Okay, so you need one day for Bosphorus. Then you got your other 2 days, which you're going to be doing the city tour with all the masjids and so on.
With all the famous masjid, as I said, the Topkapi Palace, then obviously the famous Taksim Square, and Galata Tower, etc., which can be done in a day or two.
Right. So from there, then, what's your next port of call from Istanbul?
Mohammed, it's a huge option. It depends what the people want to do. The last or the trip that I went on, the previous trip, I self-drive from Istanbul towards the south of Turkey, which is Istanbul, and so many things to see in between. The famous Turkey plains, obviously, Sofia, the famous hot air balloon that flies, and all these lime pinnacles which are in Cappadocia. So with that route coming down, some people prefer seeing Konya. There is Pamukkale, which is towards the south. Many other towns in between, which have so much history. So there are many options. If a person has the time, then it would be a real good experience coming down from Istanbul, going down towards the small towns of Simau, Simevci, where all the famous carpets have been made, and most of the masjids in the world use these carpets, come from these areas. So it's something to see if a person does have time. 200-300 kilometers south of Istanbul, and you get, as I say, these small towns which are famous for the porcelain and the carpets. And then you come, as I say, towards the south, then you get Cappadocia. Person can do a self-drive. There are flights from Istanbul where you fly to Kayseri, and you visit these famous places in Turkey, as I said, Cappadocia, Konya, Pamukkale. All that can be done self-driving, and it can be done by flight as well.
So now if you're doing self-driving, you mentioned self-driving. Okay, you can hire a car in Istanbul and drive your car down.
It's simple driving. It's not that difficult, but the experience is much, much more different, Mohammed. There's so many things that you see that you wouldn't see by doing these internal flights.
Okay, you're mentioning quite a few different towns, but from Istanbul, what will be your next point of call?
I would say, Mohammed, if a person has the time, he can spend his 3 or 4 days in Istanbul, fly to Cappadocia, which I feel 1 or 2 days is more than enough. Obviously, the famous hot air balloon and these pinnacles, these small little tours which they have, like in Cappadocia, going out to Ussisa and Urgut, they have this where they show all lime mountains and all those type of things. That can be done in Cappadocia. You know, the person can fly from there, fly towards the famous Pamukkale. This is the beautiful white mountain. Surrounded the whole brown mountain, which on itself is something unique. They may have these hot water springs. So 2 or 3 days can be there as well.
Talking of that, the picture that you sent me of that white, I think it's white rock, and they make swimming pools in the middle of the white rock. Which town is that?
That is Pamukkale. It's called Pamukkale, and obviously the nearest airport from there is Denizli. So a person, as if they can fly from Istanbul to, example, Cappadocia, make his way down towards Pamukkale, and that's where that beautiful white limestone kind of mountain is there between all these brown mountains, which is something unique, and they have this hot water spring. That is something also to see. And the person has time, obviously, there's Konya, which some people prefer seeing, and then obviously making your way down towards the south, which is Antalya, which is very, very famous with all its resorts, and has a little marina in Antalya with all the resorts, which is very, very good for families, which a person can stay on the seaside, which is very, very beautiful.
Okay, so that's okay. Now that is down south. So if you're talking of those places there, including Istanbul, how many days you covering already then?
About 7 days, Mohammed. If you're doing Istanbul, if you're doing Cappadocia, if you're doing Pamukkale and coming down towards Antalya, I suppose 7-8 days which are going to be used already.
Right. Okay, so that's done there. And then from there, you're going to fly to a different destination again.
Mohammed, the person can fly, example, to Izmir. And obviously, there are small other small seaside towns in between Marmaris, Bodrum, etc. There are many, many different options as well. But with the self-drive, which I noticed, Mohammed, there's so many things that I've seen in between, which you would, as I said, you would not see by doing these internal flights. Driving up towards from Antalya, going to these small towns of Kemer, Goinuk, and brings you up to Izmir. And then if a person goes a bit off-road, there's obviously Agartha, Troy, which has a lot of ancient history as well, which a person can see. And then, as I said, on my last drive, Mohammed, I did that, drove from the north to the south, all the way along the coast, and I got to a place where you take your car, you put it on a barge and a ferry, and you go onto a Greek island, which is called Yokche Ada Island, which is very, very unique and very different. It's something, as the people feel, like, you know, in Greece, it has that type of look.
Yeah.
Very, very beautiful island as well.
Oh, okay, so you can do that also when you're down there. Is that now down south?
It's going up towards the north again, Mohammed.
Oh, okay.
And then you take the ferry and you go across with the ferry or the little barge there. You go for 2-3 hours across the water and you come to this little island, which is very, very beautiful as well.
So there's lots of different options when you're doing Turkey. As we look at it, we look at Istanbul and we feel we've done Turkey already. But as you're mentioning now, there's much more to it than that. And obviously from there, then you have other major cities that you can go to also. Now what you're talking of is all like the smaller towns which are just adjacent to probably to Istanbul. But there are other major towns and major cities which you can fly up to and continue from there then.
Definitely, Mohammed. As I said, just off Istanbul, also a famous town, Bursa, which has the Ullu Jami', which is a very, very famous masjid in Bursa. And then obviously they have the Kadi Tariq, which is a cable which takes you from the bottom of Bursa to the top of a mountain where they have ski resorts, and it's very, very beautiful, excellent scenery, and something very different as well. People who go to Turkey in the colder months, they're skiing, and there's so much of these winter sports that can be done. And also a very unique experience and something very different as well.
Right, so it's all those things that we do. We are going to take a short break now, and after the break we're going to continue. I want to talk to you more about from here, because lots of people contact me asking me about, because at the moment Turkey, it's on everybody's tongue. Turkey and Vietnam is on everybody's tongue at the moment. And when it comes to Turkey, lots of people are asking me, and I know that, okay, you can go to, there's a few places that you can go to in Turkey, but the way you've done it, that is why I thought, let me talk to you, discuss further, because there's been much more places that you told me of, which we've never heard of before, where people were going. And alhamdulillah, with that, we can share some of our experiences and get the listeners to get involved and go to those other places. And really, really tour Turkey the way a country is supposed to be toured. So what we'll do is we'll continue right after the break. Come back, you've just joined us. You're listening to myself, Mohammed Lambat, on Radio Islam, Medium Wave 1548 on the Globetrotting program. And today we're talking to Brother Zakaria Mullah from Roshni, who's been many times to Turkey. And I thought it's most appropriate to get him on air talking to us about Turkey, because he's giving us personal experiences. He's not giving us something that he read about and going to do something in a country and experience in that way. Been there many times, done many different things, come back and share those experiences. And in that way, we tend to do more in the country, because that's what we know of, that's what we learn of, and that's what we hear of. We put all that together and we have a fantastic holiday. Brother Zakaria, Jazakallah for talking to us today again, once again, and sharing some of your lovely experiences on Turkey, alhamdulillah.
Mohammed, where we ended off, we spoke about the major attractions in Istanbul, then working our way south towards, as I said, Cappadocia, Pamukkale, Antalya, Izmir, Marmaris, and all these small little towns in between. But Mohammed, more to that, there are the other areas of Turkey which are also very, very beautiful and undiscovered. Trabzon, Rize, which is on the eastern side of, northeastern side of Turkey itself, coming towards the center of Turkey, the famous place of Sunni Urfa as well, Kilis, Kaziantep. There is much, much more to see in Turkey besides the famous things that we hear or, you know, time and time that we hear about. So if a person has the time, as I said, besides only visiting Istanbul, consider visiting these other areas, which are very, very unique, comparing to the other places in Turkey.
So you're looking at, you said Antalya also, right? So you do Istanbul and you do Antalya. Antalya is one of the major cities also. So you do Antalya. Now, in and around Antalya, if you base yourself in Antalia, from there, what do you do?
Mohammed, if you're in Antalya, obviously, if a person is with family, they spend most of their time in the resort in Antalya itself. There's a marina. But if you go a few kilometers out, there are places like Goynuk and Kemer, where they have many, many you know, natural things which a person can experience. They have this rafting, and they have many, many other water sports, etc. Just going a few kilometers out of Antalya.
Now, the way you the places that you're talking of, going to different different cities, different towns, different small little villages, and so on. The age group of people to do all these things, is it very tiring if you're doing all that?
When it comes to the adventure type of sport, it's more for the younger generation. But for the older people as well, the scenery is so lovely, so beautiful to see. So I'm not saying it's only for younger people, but as I say, for the nature part of it and the beauty, it's for all ages, Mohammed.
Across the board. Now, you touched on Cappadocia. Now, Cappadocia is famous for the hot air ballooning and so on. What else there is in Cappadocia? Because if you're going, you do your hot air ballooning. What's your time frame that you're going to be on in the hot air balloon for the day or whatever it is?
Mohammed, Cappadocia, it's not too far off from Istanbul. It's an hour and a half flight. A person can fly to airport Kayseri. And from there, the famous town of Jerome, where all the hot air balloons and all these things happen. It's about 50, 60 kilometers from the airport. And the most famous thing is the hot air ballooning and the people staying in these cave suites or cave hotels where these rooms are built in these lime, I don't know what you even call it, Mohammed. It's some type of a...
Like a mountain.
Like a mountain kind of thing.
A rock mountain where they dig a hotel into it.
Yes, that's it, Mohammed. So the scenery is very beautiful, and all around you see all these rock formations, you know, like little fairy chimneys, as they call it, or a pinnacle. So the town is set in a very beautifully set.
Ancient style, I would say, is it?
Gee, most definitely. And in the morning you see, when the sun is rising, all these balloons along, you know, in the air, around all these fairy chimneys, which is very, very, very beautiful, Mohammed.
So the departure of balloons in the first place, I guess it must be very early morning then.
Yes, it's a sunrise, it's a flight as well. It all depends on the wind speed, etc. But in the summer months when it's much warmer, most of the time these balloons do fly.
Okay, so they do have that. So that is now, and how many days must you spend in Cappadocia then?
I think, Mohammed, 2 days maximum. As I say, the 1 day is the ballooning, which takes a 3/4 day. And the 1 day is set to do all these. As I said, you have these different tours where they have these red, green tours where they show you these fairy chimneys, etc.
Right.
And there's famous landmarks in these towns of Jerome and Uchisa and Urhuk, which is in the Cappadocia area.
So that is 2 days. And from there, then, where is the next point?
The next point is, as I say, a person's got the option. It is Ponya or it's Pamukkale, which we spoke about earlier, where they have this famous white lime mountain with all these hot springs. So 1 or 2 days there maximum as well, Mohammed.
Alright, so that is fine up there, right? And as far as food is concerned, what's the situation with food when it comes to halal and so on? Because Turkey is very, I would say, mixed reaction regarding the food.
See, Mohammed, Istanbul itself, Allah shukr, with our new, you know, our new leader, Mr. Erdogan, he has made many, many changes in Istanbul. As I said, when I went, when I was much younger, things were much more different. You see, you know, alcohol being served and all those kind of things. Most of those things have phased out, Mohammed, and food is freely available. You know, you still get your 1 or 2 people who still sell the, you know, alcohol and that things in between. But most of Istanbul itself is, I would say that it's safe enough to eat.
now, so that is good. Right? And then to, when you said we're getting in from South Africa, any visa requirements from the side?
No, Mohammed, basically it's the, as I say, it's an entry slip. You do go online, which it's a 5-minute application.
Yeah.
They give you a little entry slip with a barcode. And when you land in Istanbul, you just scan the little, you know, the entry slip and you into the country, Mohammed.
Oh, so you got to do an online application before you leave from here?
It's a very, very simple thing. It's just basically name, address, passport number, etc. And in a few minutes, it's processed and the email to you. Just has a little barcode, which is good enough to enter Turkey.
Oh, so that's a straightforward process, right? Mm-hmm. And then flying in and around and in the country itself, what different airlines choices do you have then?
There are many, Mohammed. They have the national carrier and they have their local low-cost airlines, which are quite reasonable and the prices are really, really low to fly around. It's like our local Mango, Kulula, etc. 300-400 train tickets to do these internal flights. There are other options as well. There's buses that leave from the autogars, which take you to different parts of Turkey. That's an option as well. There's a self-drive. And there are many, many options to travel in Turkey itself, Mohammed.
So there's ease of use of the roads also then when it comes to signage and so on. Okay, and then as far as your, I would say there's comparisons that we make with South Africa. The first question is, lots of people ask, what's a cost like? For example, a can of Coke, what would it be like?
Mohammed, I wouldn't say it's extremely expensive. I wouldn't say it's very, very cheap. Obviously, in any tourist area, any part of the world, it is a few rands more. So it's not ridiculously priced, but in the main areas, in the main attraction, it is a bit more expensive. Obviously, going out, it becomes normal, same as any famous tourist destination in the world. So it's not extremely expensive, and it is not absolutely cheap as well. Yeah. I would say it's average price, Mohammed.
Okay, and the first thing the aunties obviously ask, what's the shopping like? And we know that Turkey, there's lots of shopping to be done.
Mohammed, especially for women, there's so much shopping for women, it is unbelievable. You know, with all these abayas and cloaks and these winter coats and all those things, there is so much to see, so much to buy. Besides the Grand Bazaar, which everyone talks about, it has its famous street meats, etc. But if you go to the areas of Fatih and the famous street, Istiklal Street, etc., which is where the Taksim Square is, there's plenty shopping for the women in those areas. But as I say, for Islamic wear, it's so much, Mohammed. It's just that women would have to. They will shop and shop and shop till they have no space, Mohammed. It's like this, you know.
No, perfect. No, alhamdulillah. You spoke a little, you just touched on the Bosphorus tour. Can you tell us what the whole Bosphorus tour entails?
Mohammed, the Bosphorus tour is basically, you know, they have it every second, 2, 3, 4 hours that these boats leave on the Bosphorus. Obviously, they give you the whole, you know, sailing around the Bosphorus. They show you all the different landmarks. And, you know, all the different bridges and the different piers, what connects to where, and all the landmarks which can be seen from the Bosphorus, Mohammed.
Okay, so that is, you go to different tours. Now, as we know that Turkey has got rich Islamic history, can you brief us on some of the Islamic attractions?
The first thing, when I get to Turkey, the first thing is obviously going to Eyüp Sultan, which is the most famous, to me, the most famous place in which I like visiting first, obviously the Qabr of Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, which we all know the famous story of him being the house of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So his kubur is there, many people go and obviously pay your respects, and you know, that is the famous Ayyub Sultan. Obviously the Topkapi Museum, which has lots of Islamic history, the original Kaaba doors, and obviously it was ruled by the Ottoman in those years. So all the history of Baytullah and all those things are kept in that museum, Muhammad. All the different swords of Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Usman, etc. The Mubarak hair of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in the Topkapi Museum. And much more than that, there is so much Islamic history in the Topkapi Museum.
So, and that is now that's the central part. Further on the outskirts, I believe Ibrahim alayhi salam, there's something about Ibrahim alayhi salam there also?
I think it's in Sundi Urfa, Muhammad. They say the catapult of, you know, when that whole famous incident where he was flung into the fire, people say it in that area of Sundi Urfa. I've been there, but you know, some people say it is, some people say, but they say it is in that Sunni Wafa area, Muhammad.
Oh, so that, you know, it's really rich with Nabis and Sahabas and so on.
Yes, yes, most definitely. They, you know, you speak to the local people and they show you the Qabristans around that Ayyub Sultan. They say there are many, many Sahaba which are buried there, you know. So Islamic history, which is very, very rich. Istanbul, the famous the Blue Mosque, which everyone speaks about, which makes it unique. It has six minarets comparing to all the other masjids which you see. You know, they have the normal dome with the four minarets, this Blue Mosque, which has the six minarets, which makes it unique as well. The Suleymaniye Masjid, which is also very, very famous in Istanbul. You see, Muhammad, in Istanbul, I had the opportunity of speaking to the Mufti of Diyanet, and he was telling me in Istanbul alone, there are over 3,000 masajid. So every street corner, there is a masjid azan is going on, which you feel, you know, Islam, how Islam was in that time. So, you know, every corner there is a masjid in Istanbul.
Alhamdulillah. I know previously, I think give and take about 15 years ago or so, you wouldn't find so many azans also in Istanbul. And now there's such a great difference, huh?
Masjid around the whole of Turkey.
Alhamdulillah. So wherever you're going, you don't have a problem with your salah. And now that you're telling me of the halal food, so it seems like it's a very easy destination to go to then.
See, most definitely, Muhammad, traveling, salah, food, it makes it very, very easy for our people, Muhammad. And Istanbul itself, if I can get back to Istanbul,
see,
moving around there is, you know, to travel is very, very easy. They have the metro, they have the trams, they have the taxi services, they have these, you know, these boats that run around from pier to pier to get from the eastern side to the European side, etc. So traveling is very, very easy. For example, a person wants to go from Sultan Ahmed, he wants to go to, example, the Taksim Square. Very, very simple. The tram runs around every 1-2 minutes. It stops. You jump in your tram. You follow the route map, you come, for example, to Kabadas, which is the last stop, and from there you take they have a little cable which pulls you up, and in a few minutes you're in the Taksim Square, Muhammad.
So, okay, so there's so much to do, but like I said, lots of people, we have the tendency when we're going for a holiday, wherever we go, we cut an average of about 12, 14 days. So 12, 14 days, sufficient, you can do quite a bit then.
You don't want to overexert yourself and become tired. Spend your 3-4 days in Istanbul, example. Make your way down. If it's youngsters, people who are energetic, go ahead and take the self-drive. It's something very different. Or if the person wants to, you know, move from place to place in a quicker way, then obviously take your internal flight in. Example, go to Cappadocia 1 or 2 days. Go to Pamukkale 1 or 2 days. Come down to Antalya 2 or 3 days, Izmir 1 day, and it can be spaced out nicely, and much can be seen in that moment.
Alhamdulillah. You just got back from Russia now, so your comparison from that side to Russia then?
Muhammad, Russia is unique on its own. Istanbul, Turkey, unique on its own. But every country Allah Ta'ala has made. And you can't say, Muhammad, one is better than the other. They are both nice in their own way.
Beautiful, huh? In their own way, yeah?
Well, the thing with Turkey being an Islamic state, it is, you know, it is easier for us with salah and food, etc., you know. Russia unique on its own way, but a bit more difficult when it comes to things like food, etc., Muhammad.
That's the most important part, especially like now that we know that Turkey is a Muslim country, your food, things have changed for food. When it comes to expats, for example, Indian from the subcontinent, are there lots of expats there?
Muhammad, I'm not saying there are many, but they are available, you know, if there's certain areas where you find maybe some local type of food, which we prefer, you know.
Yes.
But obviously, Turkey was their famous food. Obviously, the people who went, people know the famous Hafiz Mustafa, who's famous with all these sweetmeats and baklavas and all those type of things. There are many, many, many of those, you know, in the city, Mitai shops all over. And many of them where people, you know, go and, you know, taste all these local sweet meat of Turkey. And then the food itself, Mohammed, is, as I say, each country has its unique. And they have their famous, they call it the shashlik, which is a bra, and they have their, they have the Iskander, which everyone speaks about, and they have the famous, they call it the clay pot, Mohammed, where they take your food and it's prepared in that clay,
yeah,
the clay pot, and it's put into the fire and it's cooked, and as I serve it to you, when he comes and he actually breaks the pot open.
Okay.
And so they have all their famous, traditional, local food as well, you know.